and let us know where you listen to Stardate. For the MacDonald Observatory, I'm Joel Block.
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in...
Changed. The new number is 2. Please make a note of it.
Please repeat.
The number you have reached has been changed. The new number has been disconnected.
Ring damage.
Möchten Sie etwas zu trinken haben?
What did you say?
Can you say deja vu?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
Can you say deja vu?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
Can you say deja vu?
Good evening, Vice President Nixon.
Good evening, Mr. Howe.
Welches sind die Regenbogenfarben?
Thank you.
you do not push a key in 3 seconds, you will be disconnected.
Mein Bruder ist jünger als ich.
There are several hundred demonstrators circling the block. At least twice as many police keeping up with them as they sometimes jog around. There are several groups, at least three groups, and at times one will stop and wait for others to catch up. Chanting, no peace, no justice. Is now running across J Street, surrounded by police vans. And there are horses as well. And the police seem, quite honestly, to be puzzled as to what they'll do next. Seem to be gathering into an even larger group now. This is evident from the signs. Each group apparently has a sign with a number on it. And before, we had seen signs up to only about two or three. Now the signs are going up to seven, six. I say seven, and the crowd is now running down Day Street across Tillery. And there are police everywhere. Everywhere. So far, I've seen no signs of any physical contact or conflict of any sort. Just loud, boisterous chanting as the crowd once again rounds the corner. And if anything else, this is representing it's beginning to resemble some kind of a marathon. Reporters and police and demonstrators are gasping for breath. And they are running quite fast now. I've never seen anything like this.
Like stealing concrete, pretenders up trenches, back on the street. Fistful tension, like steel concrete. Pretenders are tough, fakers are real. Open up your heart.
Called Garland Jeffries, We the People here, and the program is called Brain Damage. Eric Corley with you on a Saturday night, and what you have heard is our sort of coverage of an event which took place about a week ago, Day of Outrage, Day of Outrage Part 2, and since then we have seen Day of Outrage Part 3, and who knows how many more are coming. But the Day of Outrage was a march sponsored by several black leaders, among them Reverend Al Sharpton. And in fact, we'll be hearing a speech from him a little bit later on. And I was there with my little tape recorder, running around in the streets of New York with mobs of people. And it was quite an event to take part in. We have a couple of more things from that. The march itself was very well organized, and it drew quite a fair number of people. In fact, the first Day of Outrage, which you might recall, took place in December, caused a good part of New York City's subways to be completely shut down as people jumped into the tracks and pulled the emergency brakes on the subway trains. And not only did it cause a backup in one station, but if you block a subway train, obviously the subway train behind it can't come into the station either, and the one behind that, etc., etc. And so it just sort of backed up all throughout the city, and the whole city was paralyzed. This has never happened before. The whole city was paralyzed due to a few people, relatively few people, and that was on everyone's minds as this demonstration was taking place a week ago on Thursday, I believe it was, and nothing quite on that order happened. However, the paranoia was very evident as a couple of thousand, at least a couple of thousand policemen were all over the place, from Atlantic Avenue in Brooklyn to the to the Brooklyn Bridge itself. They were everywhere, riot gear, and horses and vans and helicopters. It's really something. And what was especially interesting was as every demonstrator approached a subway station, the police would run to the subway station and block it and put up barricades. So, in effect, what happened was the demonstrators did manage to shut down the subways, not quite as well as the first time, but they did prevent people from getting into the subways. I don't know if that was quite the intention, but that is what happened. Anyway, we'll be talking about this and kind of, I don't like to always talk about racism. It seems like we do that quite a bit on this program, but it is one of the topics that is of interest.
It's one of the more prominent issues right now.
Now, that voice you may have heard over there is the voice of Pete Kang, who spoke before he was introduced, which is a radio sin.
Sorry.
A immortal radio sin or something like that. But as long as Pete said that, why don't you repeat it when your mic is on?
Well, I just said that it was one of the more prominent issues in the news today.
It is one of the more prominent, but at the same time, it's kind of a sensationalist thing. Like, I see reports of racism that don't really care about the racism part. They care about getting a good story and getting headlines and things like that. It's like,
well, it's something that's always existed. It's just that recently it's been glamorized, so you know the press just jumps on it.
Yeah, glamorized. That's a good word for it.
Basically.
It's like when they discovered the second AIDS virus a couple of days ago. I don't know if you saw the New York Post or the New York Daily News, one of them, it had a big headline saying something to the effect of new killer AIDS virus infects blood banks, you know? It's like, what is the point? What is the point of making people panic? And
yeah, I mean, they're treating it as if it was a new issue and, you know, and it's not.
If anything, I think it can be a positive thing because we know so much more about it. We're nowhere near curing the disease, but if we see how well we can contain HIV-2, it'll speak well for eventually containing HIV-1. At least I hope so. But that's a whole other issue altogether. If you have any comments on this issue or other issues, please give us a call. This is a call-in program, 632-6901, 632-6901, area code 516. Especially would like to hear from you folks on campus because the State University at Stony Brook is in session again.
Yeah, and we had our little, or at least the administration will play it down, but there were little murmurs going around that the shooting that happened last year on campus was racist-related. So maybe somebody on campus has something to say about that.
Well, I remember when that happened. That was, I believe, in May of last year,
yeah.
The shooting that took place.
Yeah.
Actually, you know, I haven't heard anything about it since it actually happened.
Well, this is Stony Brook, you know.
Well, this is, there's lots of factors involved, I'm sure, but I do recall that the racist element was brought up, but I don't know if it was ever proven.
No, and then, at any rate, you know, the university doesn't want that kind of thing to leak out, so of course they pounced on it and... you know, put the fire out on that one.
Well, that's something people want to comment on that. But mostly I'd like to look at racism in general. You know, the racism that's in society as a whole, you know, that we see every day. We don't notice, we don't talk about as much, but is that good? Is that bad? You know, is it will these problems go away? Or how will these problems go away if they ever do?
Good question.
Yeah, so, you know, it's like going to a march like that in Brooklyn.
Well, what exactly was the end result of that march? Did it just
I don't know if there, no one was arrested. Eventually what happened was it met up with a crack demonstration, an anti-crack demonstration.
That completely coincidental?
Well, I think it was planned, although what happened was the demonstration ended up on Franklin Avenue, went pretty much down Fulton Street, and eventually ended up on Franklin, and there was a crowd of people gathering for a 6 o'clock rally against crack. Now, part of the demonstration along the way was stopping and chanting, you know, close the crack houses, apparently before, in front of some crack houses, they would stop and do this.
Now, who are they chanting this to close the crack houses?
To the crack houses themselves,
oh.
To the dope dealers and all the druggies out there.
Did they listen?
I don't know. They're still open as far as I can tell. But what happened was it ended up over there, but then the demonstrators went someplace else, and I never saw them again, actually, because I stayed at the anti-crack rally, and that's where Al Sharpton showed up. And a bunch of other black Muslim leaders, which they're
Al Sharpton gave a speech at the
he did, yeah. Now that was kind of a surprise for me. I didn't know he was going to be there, and that was the day after Newsday broke the story about him.
Did he say anything about crack?
This rally was about. It wasn't about racism. The racism rally apparently went someplace else, and they just sort of dropped off a few people at the crack rally, and they went on their merry way.
I see.
But it was interesting. I've never really been in the black Muslim community before.
Where is the black Muslim
community? It was right near Franklin and Fulton. And it seemed so amazingly well organized, this whole rally and everything connected to it. They were all walking around in their... You know, they're the people that sell things in the subways. I don't know if you've ever seen them.
Yeah, incense. At
almost every subway station, there is these people, these black Muslims dressed in white.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, they seem to have a very well-organized network. I don't know why they sell those things. Is that something religious? Or?
Oh, I don't know. I noticed that they also hand out pamphlets and things like that.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what they're doing.
They were handing out all kinds of leaflets and pamphlets, and including one about the Palestinian issue, which maybe I'll get to a little later. But what happened was it was just so very well organized. They were walking around with radios and walkie-talkies and keeping everybody in order and keeping track of the crowd. And
so no incidents took place?
I didn't see any. If there were...
Were there any reported in the news?
I didn't hear of any either. So it was
a
pretty well-organized demonstration altogether. But I'd like to get to a couple of other aspects of what happened on that day, which I don't have the date on, unfortunately, but it was, I believe, a week ago, last Thursday. And it was quite an event. Quite an event.
It sounded like it. You sounded a little bit... you weren't frightened, were you?
I wasn't frightened at all, but I was out of breath because the crowd was literally running down the block.
Mm-hmm.
And it was something... You didn't know what was happening. I arrived in Brooklyn expecting to see a huge demonstration.
Mm-hmm.
And what I saw was just mobs and mobs and mobs of police. And that was a surprise to just see the police and not see the demonstrators. And I was looking all over the place, and I was going up to every policeman saying, excuse me, where are the demonstrators? You know, I feel like a complete idiot with my little tape recorder and microphone trying to find these demonstrators. And they weren't anywhere to be found. And then suddenly they just popped up, and there they were. And suddenly we were all running down the block and running across the street and having a grand old time chanting and waving things. But
were there more police than demonstrators?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Wow.
A lot more police than demonstrators, because they were worried about what happened the first time. You know, with
they didn't want those in
the subways. Yeah, they didn't want that. It was really kind of funny to see all these cops there. But once it got started, it just kind of grew. You know, it started with like 100 people, then another group merged, and it just kept growing and growing,
mm-hmm.
and the march just kept going on down the block. As you'll hear in the next part, the demonstrators were kind of aggressive towards the press.
Oh, really?
Well, because the press always kind of hovers, you know,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of times that interferes. Like, they always want to take pictures and do actualities right in front of the crowd. And these demonstrators would have none of that. They would just plow down the street and literally push people out of the way. You know, and
mm-hmm.
that was, I guess, kind of the theme of the day. Nothing's going to stand in our way.
Mm-hmm.
very few of the press tried to question that. In fact, why don't we go to that now? Why don't we, before we take any phone calls, by the way, let's give out our phone number one more time, 632-6901, area code 516. If you have any comments on racism or really anything else, what else is going on in the world or locally or in your life, you know, if you want us to help you with something, we can do that. We can, you know, we can read your palms. Well, we can't see your palms, but we can sort of guess as to what they look like. Give you advice, you know. Think of us as kind of the Dear Abby of the airwaves.
Oh, yeah, and romantic advice as well.
We'll be happy to do that. don't think just because we're talking about racism, that's all we want to talk about, because nothing is more boring than someone who always talks about racism.
Right.
Well, maybe someone who always talks about sports, but that's something else.
This program is geared more towards the listener and whatever the listener wants to.
Yeah, and we know who he is. We know who the listener is.
We know who you are.
Yeah, we would like him to call. We do still just have one listener, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, you have to have a license. But by the way, you have to have a license to listen to this radio program. If you are listening to this program unlicensed and you are found out, there could be a problem.
Yeah, go
back. We're not going to do anything. You know, we're cool people. We're not going to turn you in or anything like that. But your neighbor might not be so, you know, so mellow about the whole thing. So think about it.
Yeah, just keep the radio a little bit low.
Don't
let the neighbors hear.
Or send in the license fee, you know. I mean, $1,200 is not that much money when you think of it.
Nah.
Especially, you know, if you spread it over our two-month payment plan. But anyway, on to more serious issues. Let's get back to the demonstration and the part of the demonstration. This is only a couple of minutes, but the part where the press people were literally being shoved out of the way by a band of rather ferocious leaders with armed with radios and ropes and sticks and all kinds of mean, nasty, ugly things. Apparently this has been very well planned out. Demonstrators are now standing completely still.
And now they're moving forward. Literally ordering the press out of the way as they move forward. And apparently it was a bluff, as they stayed right where they were, and the press lost a couple hundred feet. The object here apparently is to confuse as much as possible, and it is working. These guys are good. I gotta get a picture out. Then they're doing it again.
Move it. Come on, you gotta move it.
But unexpected, the confrontation between the demonstrators and the police became the demonstrators and the press.
Rally in the area where two nights of racial rioting left at least 15 persons dead.
I was walking my alley beat. I was seen as so out of reach. It was not like the European night. Ooh, it was not like the Broadway light. They're like a separate black from the white.
Some shooting and looting continued. Smoke rose from some of the fires that were set, triggered by the acquittal of four former white policemen in the beating to death of a black man.
I was walking down the road in a blistering heat. A bomb exploded on a hot concrete. It can happen in the broad daylight. It can happen in the middle of the night. Screech and a scream and a pistol shot. Can't be a dream if it sounds like that. It's a riot in the Liberty City. A red riot, such a downright city. Walking down the road, one afternoon. I'm feeling upset, no, I'm not immune. Let me tell you a story. Another painful story.
The dead included 8 blacks, 6 whites, and a policeman who had an heart attack. More than 370 persons were injured. Well,
I was walking my army beat. I was feeling so out of reach. It was not like a European night. Oh, it was not like the Broadway light. They like to separate a black from his right. They like to separate a black from the white. I was feeling so out of touch. Oh, I don't like this place very much.
Enemies in our streets. They sell crack to our children. They're members of the FBI out there. We'll point them out. Members of the Joint Terrorist Task Force are here. They here to identify who the leaders are. Well, the leaders raise their hand. So y'all get down with that. Who's street? Who's street? Who's street? Who's street? One day y'all don't have to rumble in your streets. Y'all don't have to rumble in your streets with these suckers who don't even live in our community come sell dope so that they can send their kids to college on our kids' blood. You don't have to deal with that. You don't have to deal with that. Who's street? Let's roll. Who's street? Who's street? Who's street? Who's street?
Four policemen were shot, none seriously. There were reports that 19 persons had died, but police gave the figure of 15, including the policemen.
Walking down the street in the blistering heat, a bomb exploded on a hot concrete. It can happen in the broad daylight. It can happen in the middle of the night. No, I'm not immune. What you think of a world like that? A world full of dead like that? What you think of a world like that? A world full of dead like that? I think of a world like that. 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 A world full of dread.
Wow.
We have Lister, who has... Lister has materialized out of the thin air. We're here at 90.1 FM. The show is Brain Damage. If you don't know why we call it Brain Damage, just keep listening. Keep listening and you'll find out. We're talking about racism and other nasty things like that. But we're also talking about current events and not so current events and all kinds of dogs and things like that. Our phone number, 632-69...
Speaking about current events, the reason why it's so early is because...
By the way, we have a phone call. I was pushing buttons if we can get to him in a second. Listen, you don't sound the same at night as you do in the daytime. Well, as the...
Speaking about current events...
Demonstrators are behind us, yeah.
I was watching 57th Street on Channel 2, and there's a black man crying his ass off.
Yo.
Begging the State Department not to hang him, or actually to execute him, because he was never at the scene of the crime, which happened exactly 1 hour after... 1 hour before the crime actually took place. And there's this preacher guy and this white woman in this redneck town. Like 14 years later on Channel 2 saying, you know something? I saw the guy, he came over, he spoke to me, he was fixing his car, and that was 1 hour before the crime actually took place. And at 5 o'clock, there's no way the guy could have been there killing this other woman and all of that. And then this redneck, I guess you call him a solicitor, lawyer guy, sort of stirred up these redneck juries. And this black dude, man, he says, God, man, I walked into this courthouse and I was the only nigger in this place, you know. Everybody was white. And he said he knew that he was never going to, like, walk out of this place a free man, you know. Serious thing. So that's why I was late. I was just watching 57th Street. What happened to him? They got him on TV, man, and he's in tears. He's crying, and they're going to fry his ass. Seriously.
Wow. Justice, man. Well...
South Africa, man.
It's one disadvantage doing a radio show. You can't watch TV. But
hey.
Actually, I probably could, you know.
Yeah.
You know, Joe Evangelista typed the paper once while he was on the air. But that's a whole other story.
Do we have a caller?
We do have a caller, and I apologize to the caller for taking so much time.
I apologize now, and I apologize after.
Okay. Let's give our phone number, 632-6901, area code 516. And caller, do you have anything to say?
Yes.
Hey, this is Ed Fred. What's up?
How you doing?
Not much. What's up?
What's on your mind today?
What's
on your mind today?
I don't know. Nothing, man. Just hanging out.
Hair is on his mind today, man.
Just hanging out, eh?
Yeah.
Hanging out on a Saturday. Where are you? What town are you in?
Smithtown.
Smithtown?
Yeah.
A fine town.
Smithtown.
I passed through Smithtown the other day on the train.
Really? That's cool. What are you talking about?
Well, we're talking about current events. Lister here just came in from watching West 57th Street on TV.
Yep.
And he seems to have liked doing that.
Yeah, yeah, that's cool.
Now, what do you do when you just hang around and do nothing?
I don't know, man. I'm sitting here reading a comic book.
Well, what's the comic book?
Star Trek.
The next generation or the old generation?
The old generation.
Uh-huh. And what might I ask is the plot?
Oh, these Klingons are fighting the Federation because this renegade ship blew up a Klingon ship.
Wow. You reached page 66 yet?
Nah.
You should hurry up and reach page 66. It gets better.
What?
It gets better on page 66, man.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Lister's read that one.
Okay.
Wow. So you're reading comic books on a Saturday night, huh?
Yeah.
Well, is it better than watching television?
It's hipper, man.
Is it better than listening to the radio?
Nah.
Ah, okay. Almost got him there. Almost got him.
He's not better than talking over the telephone, though.
No. You're able to talk on the phone and read comic books at the same time.
Yeah.
Well, that's something. And they say that, you know, American youth is slipping in its abilities. Well, I don't think that's true at all.
No way, man.
No. Chorus tried to get them stone notes on Chorus, man, but that ain't working, man. Ain't working.
Tell me, caller, do you think racism is a problem in our society?
Yeah, I think it's a big problem.
How so? Do you see examples of it?
Yeah, I see examples of it every day.
Do you want to give us an example?
Yeah, you know, I just see my friends and stupid people with just prejudice against anybody that's different from them.
Uh-huh. And do you...
What do you mean by different? Smell different from them or something?
I mean different by, even if they're the same race and they dress different or act different, they have prejudices against them.
Oh, that's a good point. Peer pressure, as far as the way you dress in school or the music you listen to or all kinds of other things that you do, you know.
Yeah.
That's the most incredible pressure there is. I mean, I felt pressure from teachers. I felt pressure from parental units. But nothing compares to the pressure you feel from your peers. And
yeah, true, man.
They're the ones that say, hey, you got to take this drug to be cool. You got to drink this to be cool. You got to listen to this record to be cool.
Yeah.
And, you know, what happens? You get all screwed up listening to horrible music and taking horrible drugs and smoking horrible things and, you know.
Yeah, I don't listen to any of that.
At least you can cut the classes.
Yeah.
And read comics, man.
So how do you deal with your friends who are prejudiced? I mean, do you tell them anything, or do you just sort of ignore them?
I quite ignore them, you know. I just think in my head, and I keep my mouth shut and say, you know, what jerks are saying these things.
Why do you keep your mouth shut?
Because you might spit in their face.
I won't say something unless they get out of hand, you know.
Uh-huh.
Ridiculous, you know.
Now, the prejudice that your friends have is that... Is it just as far as pure stuff, or is it also racial in nature?
It's sometimes racial, but not really, because most of my friends are pretty intelligent, and it doesn't matter what race the people are or anything.
Uh-huh. I see. I assume you're not black.
Nah.
Let me ask you a question. What would happen if suddenly you woke up tomorrow and you were black? How would you feel?
The same.
No, but how would you feel as far as your place in society? Would you feel you had a lot more... to deal with a lot more facing you, problems, that kind of thing?
Yeah, I'd see I'd lose my friends right away.
You'd lose your friends because of your color?
Yep.
I'd probably have a heart attack, man.
Hmm. Interesting. That's something I think people should think about, you know?
Yeah. You know, it's stupid. We should all be one color, you know.
You know, it would be nice if somebody could invent a drug at Stony Brook and, you know, drop it in somebody.
People have invented many drugs here.
Yeah, but dig this drug, man. This drug, you take this drug, right? And when you take this drug, like, say, you read your Star Trek magazine, uh-huh. You lay back and you shut your television set and stuff like that, and you took this drug, and tomorrow morning you wake up, man, you're convinced, man. You swear, you're black, right? Like your mind, right? You're just thinking that you're black, right?
Uh-huh.
And then you just watch all your friends, like, say, hey, man, what's wrong with Lister, man? He's black, man. He woke up black. His mind is black. He doesn't look black, but his mind is black. Something's wrong with him, man. God, man, it's, you know, that'd be neat, wouldn't it?
Now, I think it would be a great idea if, from now on, we just said, you know, if we're white, we say we're black, and if we're black, we say we're white. I mean, it's supposed to not make a difference, right? So why don't we just lie about it, you know? Why don't you just say you're black and act like you're black and think you're black, you know? Maybe that'll do something.
Well, it's the same. I'd act the same if I was black or white. It doesn't make a difference.
Yeah, well, I think there's a difference, but I think the difference doesn't...
You wouldn't know until you try it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you can't really say there's no difference, because, I mean, there is a difference, but is the difference enough to judge somebody by? That's the question.
If there wasn't a difference, we wouldn't be talking about it, and we wouldn't be talking about inventing this, like, this drug, you know?
Yeah.
They call it the Whoopi Goldberg drug or something. Like, I mean,
well, there was this guy who did it, who wrote a novel about that, didn't he?
Black like me.
Right.
He died from it, too. Because he was spreading all this color on his face, and he eventually got skin cancer.
Are you serious?
Yeah, that's a horrible start to that story.
Wow. But I recall him and his book, and I don't quite remember what happened exactly, but he disguised himself as a black for a couple of weeks or something like that.
Yeah. Wait. I mean, he would walk down the street, and you know, he'd be black, and he'd say hi to a black person, and the black person would say hi to him. He'd be white, he'd say hi to a black person, he'd hear a switchblade click in their pocket.
You remember this story about Godfrey Chambers, the movie?
Uh-huh.
And I think he was like a black man in this movie, and then he went to the bathroom, he took some kind of drug or something. You know, he married this white woman, but he was black, and he went to the bathroom, and then there's this scene where he was sitting on the toilet, and he got up, and his ass was white, man, seriously. Uh-huh. Then he started to chew it on watermelon and things like that. It was a funny comedy, but he died too, you know, seriously.
Uh-huh.
There must be something to that, right? Kind of dangerous, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think we have another call.
Let's go to the next caller.
Thanks for calling, sir, and good
luck.
Good luck getting through your
thank you.
Your what do you call it, magazine thing. Our number is 632-6901, area code 516. And good evening to you. You're on the air.
Hi, this is Andrew Goldberger.
That's nice. What's on your mind?
I was just gonna talk about racism with you.
Uh huh. Go right ahead.
I'm only 11 years old, but I really care about this.
Uh-huh.
It's everywhere you go. It's always, you're a different color, you're a different kind.
Uh-huh. What do you see in your everyday life as far as examples of racism?
In my school, around my neighborhood.
Uh-huh.
Everywhere you go, it's always, you're different.
Well, let's start with your school. What do you see in your school that's an example of racism?
Well, against me, myself, I'm a little bit overweight.
Uh-huh.
That's, like, the biggest thing, the biggest problem in the world to them.
Uh-huh.
The people who are like that, I mean, just who cares about them? I mean, who needs them as friends if that's what they're going to care about?
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, I think that's a very good point as far as the people who tend to be racist are also the people that tend to single people out for any distinguishing factor whatsoever, whether it be it be weight or the color of your skin, or just something you do that's different, like the color of your bicycle, even, or your family structure, or the color of your lawn. You know, it never stops. And I think Thinking back on my school career, the hardest days were the days in, I guess it's the early school days, kind of the mid to, the age past where the kids know how to talk and do things like that, and sort of, I guess, the junior high, late elementary, early junior high type of period is when they seem to be at their worst as far as like singling people out and being racist and all that kind of thing. Once you get to high school, and once you get to college, certainly, you see people with a much better attitude and much more mature. What grade are you in right now?
I'm in sixth.
Sixth grade?
Yeah.
Yeah, now that seems like, like it's so early in the game that, we're tempted to say, well, that you really can't have a problem this early in the game, but it's not true. I mean, kids can be very cruel as far as pointing out certain things, certain distinguishing factors, and racism is certainly not a movement.
Not only the kids.
Not only the kids.
Nope, the teachers, too.
A lot of the teachers are cowards, you know. They don't want to get in bad with the kids, even if they are only in elementary school.
I know, but I was supposed to be in the GEET program. I was smart, and I was going to take the test. To be in the GEET program, I wrote one before and that my handwriting isn't neat. So because my handwriting is bad, I'm not allowed to be in the GEET program. It isn't fair, but it isn't bigger than what's happening, but still it's prejudiced.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it is. I'll never forget, and I guess it's about time I brought this out. In second grade, this I don't know. I think the teachers didn't like me for some reason, too. I don't quite know why. It was just something different about me. But it was called Plant Day. We would take these little cartons of milk, right, and we'd cut off the top of them. Well, we'd take the milk out first. I guess we drank it or something.
Yeah.
And then we would put earth inside the bottom part of the cartons of milk. And the idea was to plant a seed there and have a nice little plant grow, right? The girl in front of me did something horrible. I forget what it was exactly. I think she, like, threw something on the floor or made a horrible noise or something. And the teacher turned around. The teacher did not see who it was. And the girl, who I might say is probably, like, you know, a nice housewife now with two kids and a car in every garage and everything that's expected of her. You know, she was normal then, and she's probably normal now. She said, she pointed at me. She said, "He did it." And I was just, I couldn't believe it. I said, "I didn't do that. She's lying. I didn't do a thing, you know." And the teacher didn't even think for a second of believing me. And she took away my milk carton with my seed in it, and I never got it. Never got it. And I never got to grow a plant in second grade, and now it's out. And I just hope that, I can't remember her name, my second grade teacher. I can't remember, but I've always hated her guts for that. Yeah, I don't mean to go off the handle here on this or anything, but it's an example of how
it's
things
like every day today now.
Yeah, it felt like that, you know? It felt like that. But I understand, you know, the feeling there of total frustration, even if it is on a, you know, on what we term a small scale. It's not small to you, and it's not small to your peers, certainly.
Well, you know something, people... You know, something that Jerry Reamer told me once about somebody she knew. She's a kindergarten teacher, and there was this child who, you know how in kindergarten you have you're in these tables, separate tables. At least when I went to kindergarten, that's how it was. And each table had a crayon monitor, and this boy was assigned crayon monitor, and he was supposed to bring back the crayons.
We never had a crayon monitor. We was kind of in crayon anarchy, I guess, in our school. But go ahead.
Well, this was the case in this school, and this was a while ago. And this guy, he didn't bring back the crayons one time. And the teacher during a parent-teacher conference said to the parents, "You know, I think there's something really wrong with your boy. I think he's mentally deficient or something like this." And, you know, the parents took the kindergarten teacher to be an authority figure that you don't really question because, you know, she's teaching the kids, so she obviously must know what she's talking about. So they said, "What do you recommend?" And she said, "Well, put him in a reform class, you know, for the slower learning." And this guy was put in a slower learning class for about 2 years until the teacher in that class, in that second year class, said to the parents, "You know, either I'm crazy or this kid is is a genius, you know. He not only doesn't belong here, he belongs in an advanced class. And it turned out that the boy was very bright, you know. And just because he doesn't play by the rules in that classroom, he got set back just because he was different. He got set back, you know. He didn't conform to those rules, so he was punished for it. And it's really a shame. Right now he's pursuing his PhD, as I understand it.
A lot of people are like that. They take any authority figure, whether it's a doctor or a lawyer or even a kindergarten teacher, which seems absurd, but at the time, the kindergarten teacher is the authority. They take this person so seriously, and they don't even question, even no matter how outrageous it sounds, whatever they're saying, and that's very dangerous for the kids.
That's a problem, because and that's a problem with children also. They don't question it. Like, if their parents say, well, you know, the guy you're seeing or the children you play with, if their skin color is different from yours, that means that they're inferior or whatever. You know, they don't question that, and that's a problem.
Kids have to question things, otherwise there's... Go ahead, Lister. Yeah.
Yes, if you ever have seen the movie Revenge of the Nerds...
Anyone seen Revenge of the Nerds?
I saw the commercial. It's a commercial.
I saw the commercial.
Yeah, that's a commercial. But
what happens at the end is... one guy took the microphone and he said, anyone who's ever been made fun of, come up here. Anyone who's ever been called the nerd, come up here. And almost everyone in the stadium came up, except for the jocks, of course. And, you know, it was, like, kind of touching because... that's what really happens in everyday life. Yeah.
Lister, what did you have to say?
I just want to ask the caller one question. Use two words, prejudice, the other word, racism, right?
Yeah.
What's the difference between the two?
The difference between prejudice and racism?
There is none.
Okay, cool.
Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, there's no difference in South Africa.
I mean, I think they help each other out quite a bit. You know, there's...
One more question. What's the difference between the U.S., living in the U.S., and the little that you know about South Africa?
Yeah, but what's really sad is that the people who were made fun of are the same people who are making fun of people. That's probably because they got so upset that they're making fun of people, and then the whole world is going to be making fun of each other. And, you know, it's like one more person every single minute is making fun of someone. It's pretty sad when you think about it.
I see that in Israel, you know. The people who were made fun of, which is a very mild way of putting it, are now the ones making fun of other people, so to say. Let me just ask the caller one more question. Do you have much of a view on the world situation? It's not often I get to ask a sixth grader, you know, if he pays attention to world events, but would you like to give us your perspective of it?
No, I keep, I watch the news, I listen every minute I can. I read Newsday.
Uh-huh.
Well,
that's a start.
I keep in, like, in track of, like, Howard Beach trial and, you know, I kept track of everything I can, so...
Yeah. Well, is there any particular aspect of world news that you're particularly interested in?
I take a great interest in racism, but particularly like I don't like it. It's kind of hard to say. I like the child abuse cases, but I don't like child abuse.
I could see how that could be disturbing, yes.
Yeah.
But repeat the question I was trying to ask.
What was your question?
Yeah, I just want to know, what's the difference? Like
the difference between living in the United States and living in South Africa?
From your point of view?
Well, I don't know how it is to live in South Africa.
From what you see on the news.
Right.
In a way, America has real hatred and world power, they say, and everyone's fighting with each other. I don't know that much about South Africa, but I can guess it's probably a little more peaceful.
Uh-huh.
It's interesting.
Interesting. Okay, well, thanks for calling, and, you know, keep feeling, what do I want to say to this person? Don't feel discouraged, I guess, from the way your peers act, because peers do act in a weird way sometimes. Pete, what do you want to say?
Well, I just think that, you know, he should hang in, because at this point, kids don't really know what they're talking about. I mean, those other kids who are making fun of you, obviously, they're very narrow-minded, you know. So don't worry about it too much. When you get older, you'll see that.
And I'm very happy you took my call. I'm young, and I've known a lot of people who have tried to call.
Uh-huh.
Wouldn't take any phone calls from people under 18.
Oh, that's ridiculous. A lot of times, people under 18 are the most honest and certainly the most, far-reaching in their comments. So, I mean, we'll take calls from people who are three if they know how to talk. As long as they have something to say, we'll take calls.
Another person who's thoughtful is, if you've heard of him, Morton Downey Jr.?
Morton Downey Jr.?
Yeah, he doesn't seem thoughtful on his show, but...
Never heard of him.
On the telephone, he was very nice to me.
Oh, you talked to him on the phone?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
interesting. I called up the office number.
Uh-huh. You actually talked to Morton Downey?
Yeah.
And
he's sending me tickets, and he was real nice.
He was very nice too, because he's not on camera and he's not propagating.
If he was to interview you on the television, I'll bet he wouldn't be nice then. You see, he makes his living by being nasty, and I've only seen him a couple of times. I assume you watch him.
Yeah.
What do you think when he's on camera? Doesn't he act differently then?
Yes. Usually I agree with what he says, but I don't. No, I don't like the way he says it, but...
Well, why do you think he says it that way?
Well, the audience gets excited, and I guess it just...
It gets ratings. I think that's you know, what the crux of the matter is. You know, acting obnoxious and being rude, that's what's in these days. And it doesn't matter what you say, you know, it's just the way you say it.
Yeah, but you do get, like, a lot of information, like... if you've heard of that guy, there's a guy on it who's on the cover of Newsday, and he's real famous now. I forgot his name. He's
not that teacher guy with the blowhole.
Rights activist.
Oh, Al Sharpton.
No,
he's a civil rights activist.
With the baseball.
No, baseball.
The principal.
Yeah, Will Clark.
Oh, no, man. He's worse than Morton Downey, as far as I'm concerned. I'd love to see all the students in your class...
I don't like him either, but...
I'd like to see all the students in your class Monday morning going there with baseball bats, cricket...
Wait, we cannot advocate the violent overthrow of the school.
No, I'm not saying a violent overthrow of the schools, but I think that all these under-18-year-old kids all over the United States of America should go out and buy blowhorns and cricket bats and baseball bats... And go into the school and say, we're fired up, we ain't going to take this no more. I mean, this is, you know, this is an extension of the Reaganism, the Morton Downey mentality, and all this child abuse unleashing in this South African country of USA.
But isn't the problem with a lot of the kids, too? I mean, shouldn't they be taking out the cricket bats against some of the other kids?
The problem is not with the youths. The youths are reacting to the abusiveness of this system. I mean, seriously, ever since Ronald Reagan got into power, man, there's more child abuse in this country. There are more of these crazy-ass nuns walking around with blowhorns and things like that. I'm really angry at this because I honestly feel, man, sometimes I wish I was like 10 years old, man. I'd go to school with a Uzi or M16 and blow a couple of... No, seriously, man. How would you feel a teacher walking around with a blowhorn and saying, "Hey, Pete King, get up! Go to your bloody class!"
Well,
yeah, come on.
I can think of
that's
worse
education,
things. And I think one of those worst things is seeing a 10-year-old with an Uzi walking through the hallway.
The Japanese people don't do that. I mean, there's this big trip, you know, with the right-wing people in the United States of America.
But the school has drug addicts all throughout. I mean,
the teachers are on drugs. Come on. The teachers are on drugs.
Shouldn't the guy react in a certain way to people not going to class, people not doing anything they're supposed to do in the school?
First thing...
I want to say about drugs. I mean, if the those people want to screw their lives up, that's okay. But, I mean, there are some airline pilots who get on those planes and drive people around. They're drug addicts, all right? They didn't check them. And they just probably smoking marijuana on that plane, and that plane goes down, and everyone's gone. I mean, that's what I think. Just if they just want to ruin their own lives, kill themselves, but they shouldn't get us involved with them.
Yeah,
they'd be pushers.
And you should say the same thing about your judges in America, don't you think?
I couldn't hear you.
And you should say the same thing about the judges in America. And the head of the Suffolk County Police Department and all those people in high places all over the United States.
Yeah, a lot of people are.
You know, but I don't think who is on drug is a problem. I think the problem is this license to witch hunt. You know, I think Pete King is on marijuana today. I'll go check him out, take his blood.
Yeah, but it's amazing how they discriminate against AIDS.
Oh,
about people who are.
Oh, I'd love to talk about that.
And then, they don't discriminate against, like, people in their own classes who are taking drugs and they're addicts.
Do you know how this AIDS thing got started? Do you realize that the World Health Organization was involved in concocting this thing and spreading it to certain key races so that they could wipe them out? And also to whip all you guys not to have no more sex and things like that. And, you know, it's interesting that on the Ted Koppel show, Gurley Brown and this other dude came on, and there's this huge Cosmopolitan article. I don't know if you read do you read Cosmopolitan magazine? Huh?
What?
Do you read Cosmopolitan magazine?
No.
There's an interesting article that you should probably take to school and show your teacher. It says that penetral entrance into the vagina doesn't give you AIDS, which is contrary to what all these right-wing scientists in America are trying to scare the hell out of people and tell them all you heterosexuals are going to get AIDS if you have sex. And it's been proven that all the people that they've spoken to lied. 90% of them tell lies. You know, it's like this guy, like, say, Bosky, had sex with his friend on the job and he went home and gave his wife AIDS. And then she asked him, how you got it? He says, I went to a prostitute. 90% of them lied.
So you're saying you can't get AIDS from a female if you're male?
What I'm saying is that all the propaganda on AIDS in America makes sense because these Reaganite scientists want to whip you guys in line not to have any more sex. No more orgies, no more fun.
Well, you know, what strikes me as interesting...
I mean, Ronald Reagan's wife is going around saying, say no, we say yes in 88.
Believe me, whenever I see her face, I want to say no. But when you think of it, homosexuals, drug addicts, I mean, those are, as far as immoral people, I would say they're one and two on Reagan's list. Or anyone's list who was into immorality. So look at this disease that comes along and miraculously makes both of those things deadly, really deadly. I think that's...
I know, but I don't think you can really discriminate against AIDS. I mean, people get it from getting shots from a doctor. I mean, some people got it 3 years ago from getting a shot with other person's infected blood. And, I mean, people make fun of the kid, and they say, I don't even want to speak on the phone or I can catch it.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's really nothing to the... But when you know that someone has it and you have sex with them, I don't even give anyone a right to discriminate, but still, it's, you know... It's you're messing your own life up, and you're gonna die.
Uh-huh.
But you don't really get AIDS by just having sex with someone. There's no scientific documentation that if your penis enters the vagina, you get AIDS just like that.
Well, there's no documentation.
There is absolutely no scientific documentation.
Uh-huh.
In this United States of America, backing that up. On Ted Koppel's show, when they asked this scientist if she could document it and all that, and she says, well, it's just a gut theoretical feeling.
Uh-huh.
I mean, she admitted it on the Ted Koppel show, and he tried to, like, you know, railroad her and cover up that, and, you know.
But females are very much at risk from males,
well,
right?
The thing is this, that this thing, as far as I'm concerned, I'm convinced that it was not an accident. It was, you know, the military does so many germ warfare tests on you citizens here in the United States of America, and some people care about it and some don't. I'm convinced that this disease was designed to target certain classes of people, preferably your homosexuals and your Haitian minorities and your blacks and your so-called Africans, to wipe them out, you know, and at the same time as a scare tactic to whip you guys in line, not to, like, say, have interracial intercourse and things like that, get you paranoid, get all these women who are talking about, I want to have an abortion, get them even more paranoid and scared, and whip them in line so that they don't have no ownership of their body, and so on and so forth, you know? It's a scare tactic, man.
Let's get some more calls in on this. It sounds like an interesting turn to our discussion. Our number is 632-6901. 632-6901, and our lines are open right now, and want to thank the caller for calling, and
okay.
Wish you lots of luck in the future, and you know, keep thinking positive thoughts.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks.
632-6901, and this is WUSB in Stony Brook. We have Eric Corley here at the microphone. Lister with us in the studio, and I believe Pete Kang is floating around somewhere.
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, there you are. Okay. Oh, we can't see
Pete. Behind me.
He's somewhere in the airwaves. Now, Pete, maybe I should mention to you, if we get any more calls, that you won't be able to talk to the callers, and they won't be able to hear you either.
Oh, okay.
I'll just tell them.
You can live with that, I guess. Listed, did you have something else to say on the whole AIDS
thing? Yeah, I find the whole AIDS thing highly fascinating. Here's this immigrant from West Africa, right, and they claim that she doesn't have H1, she has H2 virus. Now, this is very interesting. Now, they're going to pin it on this woman, and they're going to make it a big, big case that, see, this is one more factor, I mean, to propagate the propaganda that all these West Africans, all these Haitians, you know, and if you do,
I think the Haitian aspect of it was really kind of interesting.
Yeah,
Haitians, homosexuals, and drug addicts.
Listen,
you know,
man, the World Health Organization has been using dirty needles down in these territories. It's been documented scientifically.
Lister, right? Got a reaction there.
No.
On the phone.
Oh, we've got a couple of calls here, so let's go to the phones and we can pursue this.
All right, hold on.
Hello.
Hello, am I on the air?
Yes, you are.
Live?
I believe so.
Beautiful. Can I introduce myself?
Go right ahead.
Okay, this is Steve Springfield.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm an old Saturday Night Circus.
Steve Springfield, do you ever leave? Do you ever not listen to the radio?
Steve, what's that?
Perhaps we should mention, for the sake of all of our hopefully new listeners, that Steve Springfield has been listening to this radio station for, I guess, at least the whole 10 years that we've been
on the
air.
Day one, man.
Saturday Night Pandemonium.
And almost every time we have a call-in show, Steve Springfield somehow, I guess you have like a little beeper or something, and it goes off.
Yeah, I have to call and harass the disc jockeys.
Okay, well, you might as well initiate us. Go ahead and harass.
Well, yeah. This is the first time I've heard your show. I've been away from USB for a little bit, ever since John Connolly moved.
Uh-huh. Now, John Connolly's now on Monday nights.
Found that out. I'm very upset. I love John Connolly.
Well, he has all the psychos come in on, psychics. Oh, well, I'm going to get it now. Psychics, not psychos, psychics. They come in Monday nights. And
but anyway, I just, I know, who am I speaking with? I didn't even listen to the station. I just called in.
This is Eric Corley, and the program is called Brain Damage. You'll probably like that quite a bit.
I think it's properly titled.
Yeah. Well, if you look at it in a broader sense, you'll see that we're covering all of these sick things.
Beautiful.
And then whenever you talk about people, that's generally what you do. But what's on your mind tonight?
Hey, who's the other gentleman with you?
We have Lister.
Lister, you and Ho?
Lister, you and Low. But
Ray Davis.
You and Ho, I like the sound of that.
Hey, Lister, you got to play some reggae music. Play some Jimmy Cliff. Jam it, baby, jam it.
I love
it. Anyway, man, right. I'm a radio critic now.
All right.
We also have Pete Kang. He's in the other studio, though. He can hear you, but you can't hear him.
Hi.
Okay.
Wave, Pete, wave.
Wait, did he hear me? Can he hear me?
I don't think he can hear you.
I'm a radio critic now. Oh. I've changed my name. I'm now known as Mr. Radio.
That's real clever.
Okay, but I just wanted to call in, harass you, insult you, and you know, just say hello, if you will.
Uh-huh.
You know,
well,
I love Eric Corley, man, you're beautiful. Are you still a hippie?
I'm sorry.
maybe you'd like to define the word hippie.
Freak.
Well, I'm certainly that, yes.
Oh, man. You got to have me down to your show one day, you know, and talk about radio and everything.
Well, unfortunately, the building that we're in is always closed.
Oh, no. Seriously, I'll send you a
you gotta break
letter
in
and everything explaining why I want to come on your air and abuse you.
Well, now, why don't you say, no offense, why don't you say something intelligent, you know, to the listeners, something having to do with current issues, current affairs, what's your view of the world, that kind of thing.
This is what I want to talk about. I don't like what the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission, is doing to Howard Stern, abusing that man. The man is a genius.
Oh, wait. Everyone wait. Forget Howard Stern. Think about what the FCC is doing to us at Non-Commercial Radio.
Uh-huh. Forget Howard Stern.
Elaborate on that, Eric Corley.
Making us live in fear of accidentally playing something that might be construed as obscene or indecent.
Right.
When Howard Stern was really the one that pushed them to do something because he was being so tasteless and so, you know, horrible that they made these blanket statements and all of Non-Commercial Radio is suffering as a result. Now, we really are living in fear. You know, we don't know what the FCC is going to say next. Are they going to say that every song with a nasty word in it, which is a good percentage of them, is hereby illegal? You could lose your license if you play one by accident. If a word is in there that you can barely hear, is that grounds for taking a station to court? You know, Non-Commercial Radio does not have the money to fight this, and we also don't have the time. We want to get on with programming radio, with putting on radio programs. I mean, commercial radio doesn't even have radio programs. We're the only station that does.
We want Howard.
Radio.
We want Howard.
Can I say something to Mr.
President?
Let's let our caller speak before he starts chanting. Go ahead.
Can I say something,
Mr. Right, man. You're beautiful. And Lister, you know, I love you, man. I used to listen to you every Saturday. I would sit down and dance to the music, your reggae music.
Sit down and dance to the music?
Jamaica. All right, man, you're beautiful, Eric Corley. Keep on playing the, you know, the 60s music. Keep on playing the Vanilla Fudge records, okay?
I've never played Vanilla Fudge.
I'm joking around, man. This is Mr. Radio, also known as Stephen Springfield, and I will chat with you people in the very near future.
By defending Howard Stern instead of defending Radio Caroline, which never played any illegal music, and can't you see through the front of the Howard Stern crisis that it's just a front to witch hunt stations like in San Francisco, the Pacifica station, right, to sort of silence their point of view to the American public.
Ooh, I like the way you speak.
And
I like that you're making an accent. But getting back to the question.
And all that pubic stuff that Howard Stern is talking about is not the big picture because, hey, everybody sees the graffiti on the wall.
Boy, that was a complicated question. That was a long question, too.
Well, let's hope your answer isn't half as long. Go ahead.
Okay.
Well said. Okay, thanks for calling. And
wait a minute. No. Wait a minute. Whatever you said, I agree and I don't agree. Okay?
Let's hear the don't agree part.
It's great. That question was too complicated. I don't know what that question was.
Oh,
you're
boy.
Beautiful. Listen to you.
I got a question from Robin Williams.
When you get into deep, deep thoughts, I can't answer those questions. But Howard Stern is great. I love him. He's beautiful. We need more people like him.
Oh,
and Bob
please.
Klein on WALK is an awful disc jockey. We should get rid of people like him. He should go back to vaudeville.
Oh, God.
Anyway.
Well, all right.
All right now, I've said too much. I've insulted too many people. I'm probably going to get lawsuits Monday morning.
No.
So let me just get out of here.
Okay, then.
Okay, you're beautiful. If people want to talk about me, I love when callers talk about me. So if anybody wants to talk about Mr. Radio, Stephen Springfield, please do, and hog the airwaves. And away with the FCC. Greetings, people. Greetings. Good day.
Goodbye. Oh, boy. Let's hope this doesn't usher in a whole new period of weird callers. 632-6901 is our phone number. Let me just say here and now that we may say horrible things about the, you know, Howard Stern and everything. I mean, you know, we respect the guy as a human being. You know, let's hope Howard Stern and Morton Downey meet each other one day and get into a fight. I don't really care.
No, they won't get into a fight. They'll just have sex.
Well, that would be fine, too. I don't really care. The FCC, we respect the FCC, too. We respect almost everything from the 19th century.
Why is it everybody's defending Howard Stern? I can't see through that, honestly.
I don't know. I don't really know.
Howard Stern has not tried anything new on radio. Howard Stern has not taken any risks on radio.
No, he's not a real
Howard
radio
Stern
person.
Ain't say nothing on radio.
Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, Eric. This is Adam.
Hello, Adam. How are you?
All right.
Do you have something to say?
Yeah, about the FCC.
Yes.
And about pirate radio.
Yes.
Yeah.
Pirate radio. Let's hear it for pirate radio. As long as pirate radio stays out of the non-commercial airwaves. I mean, if you're going to be a pirate, at least be a pirate against somebody who can afford to have a pirate.
No, I mean pirate radio that uses things that aren't being used at all.
Uh-huh.
You know, like empty spaces in the dial.
Empty spaces, okay.
You know, like there was...
Or shortwave. You know, I hear there's a shortwave pirate station right here at Stony Brook on the campus. There's a shortwave pirate station. And how do I know this? A friend of mine in Florida told me about it.
I didn't even hear it.
He picked it up, and he told me. All right, well, go ahead. What do you want to say about pirate radio?
For example, there was that a little while ago on that ship, what was that, the whatever it was, there was that station,
Sarah.
Radio New York International.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Right, on the ship in the Atlantic Ocean.
Yeah, they took that one down, and they took down everything. Meanwhile, they had, how could they do it? I mean, this thing was in...
Well, you know, I think I know why they did it. They were broadcasting on four different frequencies. They were broadcasting on, I believe, 1610 AM, which is above the AM dial. 1600 is where the AM dial ends. And you know, not all the radios will get it. I happen to have a radio that, you know, he can turn the dial a little harder and it'll go up to 1610. But they were also broadcasting on shortwave, which they don't really care about because...
What's the 103.1 FM?
I'm getting to that. They also broadcast on longwave, which is the frequency below AM, which almost no one uses. And they were broadcasting on 103.1 FM. I think that's what got them because there's a lot of stations over there, a lot of commercial stations that have interests in Long Island. And when you start broadcasting there... they take notice and they start losing money and things like that. That's probably what did it.
At the time, it's still around at another frequency now. That
is it back on the air?
There's no, not on that frequency, but on another frequency. It's called WROX.
Uh huh.
There's another pirate station that's still around right now, but to that, it was on 103.1. That station, ROX, used to be on 103.1 also. You know, it played opposite that R&I played on.
Uh huh. I guess 103.1 is a common frequency for pirates, but...
It's changed, like, WROX has changed four times so far.
Uh-huh.
You can see it's been there once, now it's on another frequency that's only used part of the time, and...
Uh-huh.
He always switches around, but that's not the point. The point is that, for example, this ship, it was outside of U.S. waters, it was in international waters.
Uh-huh.
Well, they threatened him with a subpoena. Now, how can the U.S. government take, like, action against someone that's not in the U.S.?
Well, from what I understand, the boat that they were on, I believe it was Panamanian or Guatemalan or something. Mm-hmm. Something down there.
Bye.
I don't know. I guess he had to go. But the boat was registered to a Panamanian company or a Guatemalan company.
Dominican.
And the United States used some kind of an agreement with that country to press charges against the people who were operating the boat.
No, they didn't have to use any agreement. It's just a little old flimsy puppet state.
Well, the fact of the matter is they can do whatever they want if they want to. They can do whatever they want.
Well, even before they got that documentation, you know, they were threatening to come up with the Marines next. You know, I mean, it took them the immigration people,
uh-huh,
the Coast Guard, and the regular police force. And then they were threatening to come in with the Marines next. And then they got this...
That would have looked bad.
This Xerox document from one of their puppet states in the Caribbean where the ship was registered. I think it's Dominica, one of those places. Dominican Republic, one of those places. But I think it's a very sad commentary because I heard a little bit of the music that was on that station And what were they playing?
The Monkees.
They were playing Monkees. What else they were playing?
They were playing garbage.
Sex Pistols.
Well, no, they didn't play Sex Pistols often. They played the Ramones a couple
of times.
Ramones.
What's so radical about playing the Ramones?
Not very much.
You understand what I'm saying?
If you have a radio station, you might as well do something with it and have fun and do things that no one else is doing. They had a radio program there, and I have tapes of this because I taped it at my house. Of people talking in reverb, just like they do on WCBS and that weird station out in Sag Harbor. It sounded just like a commercial station, except they didn't have any commercials.
And then once they got the political platform of the press, right, hyping them, and then they got busted. And then it's kind of weird, like, how they came up with these wimpish statements, man.
Well, they,
I mean, I just could not understand what's going on.
I don't think they were ambitious to begin with, probably, you know.
I mean, you got to go to England and listen to the pirate station. I mean, that's pirate radio, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's pretty hip. That's what sells all these rock
Well, they
and
have
roll.
To have pirate radio over there because there are so few radio stations in England. How many radio stations are there, really?
Capital Radio 1, BBC. That's it.
Well, in Germany, all the radio stations are controlled by the government, so anybody who wants to hear real radio has to hear it through pirate radio.
Well,
oh, wait a minute.
It's the same thing here in
the
US.
It's the same thing here. It's all controlled. I mean, it's not government-run, but it's government-controlled.
Well, I mean, they're government-run over
it's,
there.
It's the government saying that, you know, maybe we can't play Jello Biafra or the Sex Pistols or something like that. You know,
well, you know.
That's not Jerry Falwell. That's the United States government saying that.
At least we have that window now.
I think we need more pirate radio stations. I think all the college radio stations should just go hardcore pirate all the way.
Uh-huh.
Seriously. You know, because...
Well, we can't go pirate real legitimate.
Well, the point is...
It's an awful dilemma, but, you know, it's true.
The point is the concept of pirate radio in America is to just don't play... play all the stuff that they say you shouldn't play, and if everybody played it one time, there are at least, what, 500 college radio stations in America or more. It is impossible for the FCC to say we're going to take away all the licenses radio stations.
But at that point,
impossible.
At that point, you run into another aspect of it, and that is the actual license holder of the radio station is very seldom the students. In fact, I don't think it's ever the students.
It's university.
Usually the university or the administration of the university system.
Right.
And you'll run the risk of getting them upset, and they're the ones that are really going to take the action against you.
So they take the action, and we have an international student strike on all campuses.
No, then you have
close the campus.
Then you have NPR classical stations on every campus.
24-hour
a day of classical music.
We plug the station out. Seriously, plug the station out. There will be nothing on the airwaves. None of that NPR classical stuff, right? The university gets upset. We close the university down. Seriously.
It's not that easy.
Hey, nobody said it's easy. When the American Indians were trying to defend their land, nobody came up to them and said, hey, it's not that easy. It is hard as hell. You got to fight back, man.
Well,
seriously.
Fighting for land is one thing, I think. You know, that's people are willing to lay down their lives for that, but I don't know. Somehow I don't think a college radio station would be a motivating force.
Why not?
Well, I'm just looking at this campus, for instance. I'd like to have someone upset on this campus. You know,
don't look at this campus.
Well, I have to look at this campus.
You
got it outside the window
house.
Here.
Oh, man.
Tidna.
No.
Look,
people from this campus don't even call this radio station.
No,
explain that to me.
Because they're lame, man.
If there's one person on campus who will call us, you know, they are not motivated enough to even pick up the phone and dial.
What you got to do is bribe them.
632-6901. There, we made it easy for you.
$100. Yeah.
Then they're never going to disprove us because they're lame. They're lame as hell. There's no
there
way
should be, you know, on an active college campus, the phone would literally explode.
Listen, we're giving away a dog. We're giving away H Quad. First caller from a, you know, give away a quad, man.
No, we're not giving away anything because they could hold us to that. But, I mean, look at this. The phones are... Not one of these phones is coming from on campus. I see one line. One line. Is that it? Is that
it's from
on campus?
Taylor.
One line?
This guy's needed on campus, I bet.
You know who's calling us now? Public safety. You know?
Oh. Maybe the...
Okay, two lines.
Two lines.
Two lines. We've got three more to go before we get a bingo.
632-6901.
Now, if you're on campus, call. Let's just see if this campus is dead or not.
632-6901. Let's just prove.
I'd be happy to be proven wrong.
What are you giving away?
But the thing is, when you have demonstrations, even when you have films and concerts... people uh-huh. don't show up.
Nothing.
You could have a dynamic speaker like former
Donald.
President Ford or something.
No, man, Donald
not
Woods.
A bad example, but
Donald Woods is a good example. Anybody came to
yeah, that lost a call, didn't it?
Well, actually, people were there, but I don't think it was as many Donald students as like faculty and grad students.
The Donald Woods thing was well attended.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
There were a fair amount. I mean, just great. As many as Jello Biafra.
Topless yeah. dancing in the Stony Brook Union. We can do it, but we have to get a bingo.
Well, let's listen.
I just want to see if anything will motivate these people. I don't think so.
No.
I don't think so. Well, this college campus is dead. Of course, it's also Saturday night, but that's a...
No, I don't think it's dead.
Wait, are we on tape this week? No, we're not.
This
is live, right?
I don't... I
keep forgetting. I'm sorry.
I don't think it's that dead enough.
Well, let's check out who this dude is. Maybe
okay,
he's not even from campus.
Let's go to this call, and then we'll...
It's Jerry Garcia.
We'll condemn the rest
Garcia.
Of the campus later. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
I want to talk about this pirate radio.
Okay.
Oh, good.
Are you, just let me ask you a question. Are you on campus by chance?
No.
Oh.
There you go.
Where are you calling from?
Smithtown.
Smithtown. A lot of folks from Smithtown today. Okay. Go ahead. What's your opinion?
I want to talk about WROX, this pirate station. It's right near us.
You've listened to it?
Oh, yeah. I'm friends with this guy.
Uh-huh.
Maybe I can get a show
starting
on
this thing to link up all the pirate stations.
A pirate network?
Yeah, a pirate network.
Great. Wow.
Pirates
great.
For Peace.
Pirates for Peace, PFP, I like it.
Peace Pirate, PP.
And he's trying to connect all the pirate stations.
Great.
And
have the same programs or just like same attitude?
Same attitude.
Okay.
And I hope it works.
All right, well, what's your first step going to be?
I don't know. I mean, it can't go very far with the stations because they are pirates.
Now, do you know anything about these stations? Like, how do they manage to operate? How expensive is it to run them?
Well, this guy, he, like, works for a cable company or something, and he used to work for some radio, and he's broadcasting out of his room.
Uh-huh.
Like, the wire's going up the tree, and...
Oh, that's great.
Wow.
How much of a range does he have?
Oh, he's pretty good. He's got good range, so he gets out to, I don't know, where was it?
Ronkonkoma.
No. I mean, it's not that... We've had people from... where is it? Can't think.
Connecticut?
Hmm?
Not Connecticut. They couldn't get to Connecticut.
Well, yeah, we had once.
Did you really?
Wow.
Yeah, one caller, one time. I mean...
Now, are you taking up a blank frequency? One that's not being used?
No, well, it's used by a high school radio station half of the time.
That wouldn't be WSHR, would it?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So you use it when they're not on the air?
Yeah, when they're not on the air, it's taken up.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
That's great.
And all this just goes by, you know, people writing it on desks in school and stuff like that.
Wow. Uh-huh.
That's the only way we get around.
Well, what does this guy do on his radio station?
Does he run the whole station himself?
Mm-hmm.
Can I come to a show over there?
Lister, we need you here.
No,
seriously,
you could.
I'll come to I'll come to a show, man. I'd love it. Honestly.
Sure.
How many other pirate radio stations are there, like, in the immediate vicinity that you know of?
There's one in Huntington.
Uh-huh.
Called H-A-T.
W-H-A-T?
Yeah.
What radio? Okay.
I like
it's
that.
It's at 88.9.
Uh-huh. That kind of bothers me, though. Why are they all in the non-commercial area of the band? Why don't they go to the commercial band?
I guess they just don't want to...
They got to hide out,
right?
Yeah,
I mean...
You know, the thing is, though, that hurts the stations that are non-commercial a little bit more if it steps on them.
Right.
Yeah.
Or interferes with their signals.
We won, but...
I mean, the whole idea of being pirate is to go against what the commercial world
right.
is doing. But you're not going to do that if you're hiding someplace.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got to be on the commercial.
No, I'm not advocating anything here. I have to be careful. But I'm not advocating pirate radio at all. But we're just examining this as a phenomenon.
Well, I think there's everything positive about pirate radio, especially in the U.S., because we have no choice, you know?
Yeah.
Seriously, honestly.
Let's look at that for a second. New York radio. How bad is New York radio? I mean, let's look at a station like WLIB.
Bad.
WLIB. What do you think of that station, Lister?
Ludicrous, ignorant, and bad, as
like
in L-I-B.
The whole thing. The whole
that's
thing
interesting.
Is that you have a choice.
But I mean, you do have some choice. It's not like you have. It's not like they're all MOR and AOR stations. You have some minority programming. It may not be the best, but I mean, it's there. There's something.
Yeah.
Doesn't that mean anything?
Well, I find LIB to be extremely a sad case of affair. I think it exercises the bourgeois situation whereby you have this black opportunist which gets into the spokes of progressive black radio and puts a leech on a situation whereby no other individual, be they black or white, will have the freedom or the opportunities to get a true minority situation going. As far as I'm concerned, I think LIB serves absolutely no purpose excepting the purpose of this leech-type stay-in-place status quo mentality, which is rampant through the so-called black bourgeoisie.
It gets into the
country.
Racist thing again.
Oh, it's worse than just being racist. It's also just ludicrous, ignorant,
yeah,
and buffoon, man. I mean,
well,
it's a joke business, man.
Do you see any radio station?
Let me tell you why I don't like WLIB.
Okay. Maybe I picked a bad example.
Here's a station that was the R&B station in the United States of America, okay? Then they bought LIB FM, okay? And then it was a jazz thing. Then it became the most beautiful sound or the best looking sound in town, and they played when Frankie Crocker was on, they did wonderful things with music and it had an edge, and New York radio on a whole was very interesting. Then they dumped him, right? And that was the end of that. New York radio became very boring. On the other end, here's a station that is radically anti-reggae music. They had a mandate out not to
LIB?
Of course.
They play reggae Friday, Saturday,
nonsense.
And Sunday.
It's a whole Schaff sort of mentality thing. Let me tell you what they do. There was this guy, Ken Williams, on the radio station, and he had a show, and it was very, very popular. 15 minutes became like 2-3 hours, became all day Saturday, and they made lots of money. The ratings was very, very high. He was playing strictly rockers, right? No other commercial outlet in the New York era was doing that, was making lots of money. But the owners are of a Harry Belafonte mentality. They cannot relate to this music. Let me tell you something. The NACP or whatever, NACCAAP, whatever.
NAACP.
Right. Those guys have the same bourgeois mentality. They're so fanatical that they had to get Belafonte's daughter to introduce Ziggy Marley on television. This image thing.
Well, all that aside, though, I mean, I can turn on the radio and listen to LIB on a weekend and hear all these, you know, Jamaican commercials and everything, and it's unlike anything else I hear on the radio. I mean, it is different, whether it's not as good as it can be as something else, but it is at least a little bit different.
It's very insulting, though.
Let me ask you, Lister, is there a station in New York that you think is approaching anything, you know, decent, progressive?
No. No.
Yeah, I like Brain Drain.
You like what?
Brain Drain. You ever listen to Brain Drain?
What's that on?
On WUSB.
Brain Drain?
Yeah.
In college radio, that's...
How about any other stations, though?
Any other station. WPKN is what's happening,
PKN?
As far as I'm concerned, in the East Coast. I'm very disappointed with stations like, say, WNYU, for instance. I think it's...
Well, they play mostly music.
Myself and Pete had a conversation, right, Pete, about NYU?
Mm-hmm.
And I was saying to him that I find it very, very ludicrous that NYU, and not just NYU, WBRU, WHUR, all those stations. Here's a guy such as Paul Simon with an album called Graceland, just to show you how powerful college radio is. Because he got these Africans, real Africans, not no Tajan imitation business, real Africans from Azania, South Africa, right, on his record, and made this rock and roll record, okay? And because of the racism in America, they decided they're not going to play this record.
NYU?
No. Commercial radio decided,
oh,
we're not going to play Graceland, the Paul Simon record. Paul Simon then took it upon himself to visit certain key college radio stations, right, about 20 of them. Just showed up with his record underneath his arm, do an interview, hang out at the stations. And the college radio stations started to play this record. And this record, as a result of that, sold over 3 million copies. Then commercial radio decided to jump on the bandwagon.
Well, that's usually the way it works, though. Usually college radio is what breaks something.
No, it doesn't usually work that way. Because
not
if
quite
you look,
that way.
If you look at the playlist of the college... Where's Rockpool? I show you Rockpool. Look at the playlist of all these radio stations. Right? These college radio stations. And it's almost... They're mirroring... Yeah, they're almost mirroring WDRE. Which is a drag.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Here is Paul Simon exercising, showing these people how powerful college radio station could be or should be. All right, the number one record, okay? The number one record on the college radio station is a thing called Love and Rockets by Sun Moon on the Big Time label,
you
right?
You don't think that WDRE is copying college radio? I think that DRE is copying...
No, man. I don't think DRE is copying... They certainly don't copy WSB. They certainly don't copy WPKN.
But there's a lot of songs they wouldn't play if it wasn't for us playing them first, don't you think?
Give me an example.
Well, I think you're pressing for an example. Okay, I have to think for a minute, but...
Clash?
Well, the Clash, yeah, thank you, Chris. Squeeze... They wouldn't have played Squeeze if it wasn't for college radio. Almost any new band, they don't play. They wouldn't play any reggae. I mean, they don't play much, but they did play some when they were LIR.
They heard Bob Marley on DRE.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but what's new about Bob Marley, I mean?
Nothing, but I was just so surprised to hear it on there.
Well, I'm not really surprised to hear Bob Marley on WDRE. I'm very surprised that I'm not hearing Pata Banton. I'm very surprised I'm not hearing Michael Rose. I'm very surprised. I mean, there's so much music I can keep naming that they're not playing. You know, I think it's a joke.
Yeah, it's like a fraction of a percentile of what's actually out there that they decide to pick up because it'll sell or whatever.
I want to know what's keeping them from being daring to be different.
Well, I want to thank you for calling.
Sure, and give WRX a listen sometime.
Well, if we can get it all the way out here in Stony Brook, obviously we can't approve of what you do because it's illegal. But I guess the furthest we can go is to say, well, we hope you don't get caught or anything.
Well, so good.
Here's one record that they're not playing on LIR.
Thanks for calling.
That guy HRS.
HR.
Great record. Great, 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 great record. That should be like top 10 on DRE. Now, why are they not playing such a hip record like that?
Oh, we'll have to figure that out.
Oh, how many college stations are playing that record? Let's see. I don't see it on the charts here.
Derek?
See what I mean?
Yes.
Great record.
Somebody called, somebody on campus who is an on-campus person was listening to us in her car, and she rushed over to a payphone to call us.
Oh, my God.
Well, where is she now?
Should I give you the number?
Yes.
She's at a payphone right now.
We're going to call the payphone?
Yeah, let's call her.
Why not?
She pulled over just to talk to us.
Where's the payphone?
Okay, it's 751.
Okay, hold on a second. Yeah?
9795.
She's in the union.
Yeah.
I know that payphone. I've used that payphone many times.
I had dinner there.
Hello?
Yeah. Hi. Did you want to be on the radio?
Well, I don't really know too much about pirate radio except for listening to what you guys were saying, but I heard what you said about all Stony Brook students being apathetic. And although I agree with you in a large part, most of us are. Not all of us are.
Uh-huh. Well, how
see,
are you...
I told you it wasn't dead.
How are you not apathetic?
How am I what?
Not apathetic.
How am I unapathetic? Well,
yeah.
I went to a different school upstate for a couple of years. And
that's cheating.
We were working on a lot of rallies, and we did anti-apartheid stuff. We did women's marches. We spoke, stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I came down to Stony Brook, and it is a lot more apathetic, but I went to hear Donald Wood speak, and I've been to some of the stuff on campus. I'm not even as close anywhere near as to what I want to be, but...
Well,
not that bad.
Let me, first of all, you're downstairs now. It sounds like there's a lot of activity going on there.
They got a party going on down here.
A party. How nice.
A party, the police state. Dig it.
Now, give me your impression of Stony Brook students today. I mean, are they awake? Do they know what's going on? Do they know where Florida is? Or can they pinpoint cities on... I keep hearing these horror stories of American students that don't know where certain cities are.
A lot of my friends are a little bit more politically aware, but on the whole, most people just don't care about much more than getting drunk and whatnot.
And making money after they get out of school, right?
Yeah.
Can I ask you a question? What are you doing to get Coors off this campus? Coors beer,
Contra beer. They're not doing anything, and I'm so pissed. They have a great boycott.
But they're busy getting drunk, right?
And we can't get anything done on this campus.
But they're busy getting drunk.
I talk to people, and half of them don't even want to believe me about anything.
They get busy getting drunk.
I mean, it's impossible just talking to, you know, friends and people in the dorm. You can't get anything through to a lot of them.
Well, I have a question for her.
Pete has a question for you now. Pete cannot talk to you directly, so he'll have to talk to us first. And
uh-huh.
Well, I turned the phone on in here.
Oh, you got it.
Okay.
Can you hear him? Okay, go ahead.
Go ahead,
let's
Pete.
Try this.
Well, I just want to know why she thinks that students in Binghamton are aware and active, and why. What's the difference between the students there and the students here?
Sounds like you're talking through a paper towel.
I'm not sure. I don't know. The college community up there was a lot smaller than it is here. But other than that, I'm really not sure. I mean, maybe because it was smaller, people were more close-knit and words got around faster. But other than that, I don't know.
Uh-huh.
What are you doing to get Coors off the campus?
Lister seems to want to get Coors off the campus.
No, seriously, I really don't want that Contra piss on the campus. I think it should be off, seriously. What are you doing to get the Coors beer off?
Are you aware of that, first of all?
I didn't hear what you said.
That Contra funding comes from Coors beer. Well, we're having a problem with the speakerphone because of all the noise.
Yeah, it's hard to hear you guys.
Yeah, the Contra funding that comes from Coors beer, are you familiar with that?
Yeah, I am aware of it, yeah.
Do you know if there's anything being done on campus about that?
Around in Stony Brook, I don't know. I don't think so.
Uh-huh.
Most people don't even want to listen to anything about the Contras. I mean, they have a video game downstairs that's pro-Contra. I mean, it's like pro-Contra and, like, kill all the Sandinistas. It's really
Well, I've seen that game. I've seen that. I've seen that game. It's called...
I don't know. Talking to people around here isn't that easy sometimes.
It's, by the way, Pete, I think probably the problem is your phone is off the hook, too, and that might
I took it off.
Oh, you took it off. Okay. That game is called Contra. I've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
Does it have to do specifically with Sandinistas and things?
I don't know. I'm not really sure, but there's on the game, it says something about the Red Eagle something or other.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. They're like supposed to be the bad guys.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if they specifically mean the Sandinistas, but I mean the definite hint of, you know, the U.S. democracy versus communist da 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 is there.
Uh-huh. Do you think? Let me ask you one more question because I don't want to keep you at this payphone all night. do you think that there's much conservatism among students on campus these days? I know there was a couple of years ago. Has that gone down or?
I think depending on who you speak to, the conservatism has gone down some. I mean, the turnout for Donald Woods was pretty decent, but I guess it depends.
Uh huh. Donald Woods, the South African journalist featured in Cry Freedom.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I should get a movie on this campus.
It's really hard to hear anything down here.
Yeah, well, you can thank our phones for this. But,
well, the party down here isn't helping either, but...
Yeah. Well, okay, thanks for calling, and we hope you didn't make your speed.
It's been fun, and
this is good.
Has not been exactly the most stimulating from your half, just considering we can't hear each other half the time, but I was glad to call.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks for letting me talk.
Okay. Thanks for answering the phone then.
All right. Thanks.
Bye bye.
Bye.
Okay.
Maybe we should spread a rumor that if you drink Coors beers, you get AIDS or something like that. I mean,
I'm all for it.
I'm really upset about it.
We can do that. I mean, you know, they fund the Contras, they deserve whatever they get. But enough. Someone just handed me this great sticker. I can't say it on the air, but it advises us to do
something.
Come on, Eric. No, I'm not
going to
say this.
You in line, man.
Well, the whole point of it, they would whip me in line if I read this. It's a suggestion as to what to do to the PMRC, which...
Well, if you put points if you put dots in between the letters, can't you say it?
No, you can't. It's a nasty word.
It's still not defined by the FCC, is it?
It's a nasty word that's a verb.
The nasty
all
word
we
is
can
FCC.
Say. And we can't say it after 12 either.
The nasty word is FCC, isn't it?
Now, PMRC.
That's nasty.
Stands for?
I can't say it on the air.
No. PMRC. What is that exact? Pete, you must know.
Parents Music Resource Center.
Right. Is that what it means?
No, yeah. Parents Reactionary
Center.
No. Parents Music
Music Reactionary Center.
And they want to ban certain things on the airwaves.
They
want to
put stickers on records and all sorts of nasty.
And they want to tape up Eric Curtis Moulton.
Well, this is a great little sticker here that advises us to do something nasty to them, but I can't read it over the air, and we really can't talk about it anymore because we're out of time.
Fair.
Yeah. But
that's
I would like to talk about, this is a great idea for another topic. Maybe next week we will
that's
we'll
not
talk
a censorship,
this.
You realize that?
Well, it's not as judgment right now.
No,
but
no.
Censorship,
no,
yeah.
No, seriously, I totally agree with that. That's known as censorship, right? And the situation is that the whole situation is still in court. None of these terminologies are properly defined, right? I mean, why are we bowing to this censorship? I don't see it.
Because I don't want to get shot, and I would. We've had people shot on the station before, you know.
Okay, Eric, to make my point...
I'll tell you after the show.
To make my point, right, number two on the WSB chart is HR. Now, that's a hip station.
Which station was that?
WSB.
In Stony Brook.
In Stony Brook.
It's 11:58.
All right.
And we've had Lister, we've had Pete. Chris is here for some reason.
One unapathetic student.
What?
Painting the next schedule.
Painting the next schedule? My God, you've been painting behind me for an hour.
Eric,
I was wondering what he was doing back there.
Eric, how comes we didn't have Donald Woods on the air here at USB?
I don't know.
That's really sad. Donald Woods, the guy who, the journalist from Azania, they made this movie Cry Freedom about, you know. And he's really interesting character.
Oh, that's a good point. Hold on just a second.
I just can't.
Hold on just a second. Well, we're 1 minute away. Where's he going?
He's stopping the clock. I just
well, you got here fast.
I just can't see through why we didn't have Donald Woods on.
Oh, Pete just came in here and grabbed the book, and now he's running back to the other studio, and now we'll hear him on the microphone.
Well, no, I just wanted to say Donald Woods made a very good point about the fact that, you know, everybody can do something about apartheid, and we can all do our part, and everybody's just sitting at home saying, no, we can't do anything, but let's... He said that everybody should at least make the effort to call their congressman, which is a really easy thing because they have these...
Let's give out the numbers.
Numbers. If you're in Connecticut...
Get a pen.
In the Bridgeport area, the number to call, the guy you want to talk to, his name is Stuart B. McKinney, and he's the congressman for the 4th District. His number is area code 203-579-5870.
You guys say it slowly, please.
Area code 203-579-5870. Okay.
Uh-huh.
And, well, I mean, it's just to stress the importance of this.
What about Suffolk County?
Yeah, Suffolk County, that's where we are.
All right, the guy...
Suffolk County.
In the 1st District, his office is in Coram, Center Ridge, I guess. I don't know, one of those.
What's his name?
George J. Hockbruckner.
Now, that's not just Coram. That's a good part of Suffolk County.
Right.
How you spell his last name?
That's where his office is.
His number is 689-6767.
Are you sure it's 689 and not 698?
No, it's 689 according to this.
I think that's wrong. If it's in Coram, it would be 698.
Well, try either 698 or 689.
Well, if you try 689, you might wake up somebody in Stony Brook. That's the only thing. Okay, what was the number?
It's
689-6767.
Hold on, there's one way to find out. Let's just do this now.
Yeah,
all right, let's call
maybe
him.
Maybe we should call him now. And,
service,
yeah.
Let's call him.
Yeah, let's call him.
Your telephone, Mr.
Rand? Yeah.
Hi, information. We need the number for George Hockbruckner, please. The, what is he, congressman?
First state.
Congressman.
First district.
Spell the last name. HOCHBRUECKNER, period.
Very good.
Thank you.
Oh, okay. HOCH.
BR.
EB.
No, HOCHBRUECKNER, period.
Okay. And is this in Manhattan?
No. This is in Suffolk County. He's the elected representative for Suffolk County area.
Okay.
Yeah, we'd like to wake him up and talk to him.
I have two locations for the congressman.
All right, it's either a 689 number or a 698 number.
Please hold. That's in Century.
698.
The number is 689.
There you go.
689.
6-7-6-7.
Okay, let's call it.
Well, now that doesn't make any sense because 689 is not Century. 689 is Stony Brook. That means he's right here.
So let's call him.
George Hockbruckner, if you're listening, please call us and clear up this confusion.
Why can't we call him now, Eric?
Well, anyway, before we give out the rest of these numbers...
The brothers are here, and it's time for us to go. But give out the numbers really quickly.
Okay, Thomas J. Downey, 2nd District. His office
getting
is
kind of vicious,
West Islip.
Okay.
661-8777. That's for Thomas J. Downey. 661-8777. And the last one, Robert J. Mrazak, Bob Mrazak. His office is in Huntington. His number is 673-6500. 673-6500. You got to call them because it's going to escalate into a really bloody thing unless the U.S. pulls out now.
Eric, let's call them now.
So you don't forget, call today.
Call. Can we call him right
now? You got to call.
Eric, please.
What? Can we call the congressman?
You can't call the congressman. It's 2 minutes after 12. We're already late, but it's a good idea for later on. I don't know why we're not getting any music here. For some reason, our outro doesn't sound right. Hold on. Let me just try.
See, we could have called the congressman.
We've got to pull out of South Africa now.
We could have called the congressman.
Well, I'm sorry. The brain damage outro is broken. So we can't play any music anymore.
Well, Lister will hum it. Go ahead, Lister, sing it.
Let's have the chanting one more time, and we'll see you all again.
Yeah.
You know, that one's not working either.
Brain.
Brain.
You know, I think this cart machine just broke. Let's see if we can get the toilet to flush.
Brain.
The toilet's working. Thank God for the small things. Okay,
brain.
The toilet's working, the chanting isn't.
Damage.
Flushing isn't.
Brain.
Let me just try hitting it a little bit harder.
Brain damage. Eric, you're scaring them, man. Slow down, man. Brain damage.
Our thanks to Lister. Our thanks to Peter. Our thanks to all our callers. And our apologies to the brothers. Who will be following for the next couple of hours with
Eric, you're scaring
a few
man.
Hours of
damage.
Of
brain.
Oh, boy. Lobotomy, yes, that's what follows brain damage. So we'll talk to you all next week at more or less the same time, 10 to 12 on
Thanks
Saturday nights.
Thanks for having me.
No problem,
food
thanks
good.
For coming.
Can I just say something?
You better make it quick.
Somebody just called me from Connecticut and said Stuart McKinney isn't the congressman there anymore.
Oh, that's too bad.
In Bridgeport, because he's deceased. But call the number anyway.
Is he the one that died of AIDS?
I don't know.
I think he is the one that died of AIDS. Boy, that shows our ignorance.
Well, anyway, thanks very much to the listener for calling in and telling us that.
What was... Did he give the other name?
It was a she. No, she doesn't... I think it's in the process of being decided who's taking McKinney's place.
I see.
But call that number anyway.
Yeah.
Demand economic sanctions now.
And demand whatever else is on your mind, too.
Exactly. Speak your mind.
That's what they're there for.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, Pete. Thanks, Lister. Be seeing you all.